If you're looking to experience more pleasure in your life and a deeper level of connection with yourself and or your intimate partners in 2023, let's work together. Hello, I'm Stacey O, maitre d' of Finger Food Podcast and Holistic Sexuality Coach. You can apply to work with me by visiting my website, www.stacyogorman.com, or by clicking the link on this podcast bio.
Welcome to Finger Food. I'm your maitre d', Stacey O, and I'm here to serve you intimate conversations around sexuality and pleasure. On the menu is a selection of heart-to-hearts with people who vulnerably share their stories, insights, and perspectives. This podcast is about sex and so much more. We explore connection, letting go of judgment, and accepting ourselves exactly as we are. Let's dine. In this episode, I chat to Otis Herring. Otis is from Georgia, USA, and has been living in New Zealand for the last 9 years. He is a dancer, choreographer, actor, educator, model, and massage therapist. He feels the dance arts require an honest investigation of oneself and surroundings. Otis has an indispensable desire to contribute and connect with people. In this episode, Otis speaks to bisexuality, being a man and dressing in skirts, the contradiction of straight men having sex with, well, men, the proposal tug-of-war in same-sex relationships, communication and bold honesty being the key to success in relating, dance as a way to express your sexuality, stripping and leaning into new experiences in sex and in life. I was so deeply lit up by this conversation. It's great to have you here at the table. Let's get started.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome, Otis. Thank you so much for being here. It's an honor to have you here.
And
let's get into it.
Yeah.
So first and foremost, what's your family background and where are you from?
So I am African-American and I am originally from Georgia. So College Park, Georgia, originally. My mom grew up in Columbus, Georgia, which is about an hour and a half away from the city of Atlanta. And my dad grew up in Newnan, Georgia, which is about an hour away from the city of Atlanta. So I am Georgia bred through and through. I'm just Georgia. So, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And you're living in New Zealand right now.
Right now I'm living in New Zealand. I've been in New Zealand for the past 9 years.
Wow.
Probably 9 years and 2 weeks. But yeah, I've had an anniversary.
Oh my gosh.
Recently. So
congrats.
Yeah. Thank
Happy
you.
Annie.
Yeah. I'm excited. It's been exciting. It's been riveting, to say the least.
And what brought you to New Zealand?
What brought me to New Zealand is the a dance company. I can use that name. I don't think it's a problem. Mm-hmm. Black Grace Dance Company brought me to New Zealand in 2013. I saw the company in 2010 when I was on tour with Evidence Dance Company. Saw it, loved it, and said, that right there is what I want to do next. Mm. And so from 2010 to 2013, I emailed a stalker. loose stalker, not a crazy one, but kind of loose, you know, but just pursuing what I think was supposed to be my next move, or what I felt was supposed to be my next move. Mm. And eventually I was granted a contract and came over and been here.
And, amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. 9 years deep. Mm. And you're a dancer and a choreographer.
Yeah,
and...
dancer, choreographer, actor, what's that called? Massage therapist.
Amazing.
I feel like I'm supposed to be putting activists onto that, but that's just because everybody's an activist now. respectfully. But that is not my thing. I think I love to teach dance. I mm-hmm. love to dance. And I like to educate through dance, I guess. Mm-hmm. So that's probably my base. Mm-hmm. Is that I just love to move. I love exploring through movement and physical kinesthetic learning and things like that. So that's probably where I reside and probably my happy place.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you're an activist. That was the thing you were stepping around the edges of.
I sure was.
You're an activist.
I sure was. I don't think I'm that at all. I could be in some respects, but I don't think I am.
You're dabbling in the world of activism through dance. Is that did I read that even slightly right?
I don't know. I've done a few pieces that do speak to, I guess, the African American experience, and respectfully, maybe not necessarily African American experience in America, because I haven't been in America for 9 years, at least living consistently. So I don't know. So maybe it's just an African American in the world, globally, living internationally or living abroad from their original birthplace. So yeah, I guess in that regard, maybe that's where my activism is, in the sense of also educating those around me. So at the moment, Afro dance is hip and cool, and traditional African dances is one thing that I did study when I was in university. So therefore, I am hoping to educate and bring a joy and a awareness about where some dances come from, their background and things like that. So if bringing an understanding about dance and movement, and some of those traditions of what I have learned, is activism, then sure. But I wouldn't necessarily say I'm an activist.
Stunning. Love it. Great answer. Okay, look, we're diving in. So are your pronouns and what do they mean to you?
My pronouns are he, him. And what do they mean to me? I guess it's funny. It flows. I think in one aspect they mean, quote unquote, a lot to me, because I would say I am a man. I have male parts. That is the way I've grown up. That is the way I identify. That is who and what I am. Right. So that's that. And I think sometimes I get a little bit when people go, yes, girl, or hey, girlfriend, or yes, queen, or something like that. Like sometimes, depending on the context, it doesn't really flow with me. And I don't know why. It's not like I have a thing inside of me, because a lot of times in gay culture or whatever, it's like, oh, you got a problem with being called girl and this and sis and stuff like that. And I'm like, no, not necessarily. I just don't really identify as that as such. So yeah, just call me he, him, or you know. And I think that's where I kind of dwell naturally. I am that in my body. So yes, now you didn't ask this question, but I'm going to say it in the sense of dress. As I've come to grow in myself, in my being and awareness, I have consciously, subconsciously pushed, I guess in the quotations, pushed the boundaries of what I wear. even though I feel like everybody's pushing boundaries, wearing skirts, wearing this, that, and the third. So it's not really a big to do as much anymore. But yeah, I tend to dabble. I've purchased a few skirts. I've purchased a few things where I'm just like, fuck it. Fuck it. Let's do it. I don't know. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Like, just do it. And I guess respectfully, I go, I look good in this, you know? So I'm like, oh, this is why women wear skirts, because it's hella comfortable. You know what I'm saying? Like,
free and fluid. Right. Yeah.
So I'm just like, well, hell, let's do it. You know, you can show a little thigh. Mm. And it's cool. So yeah, I think in that regard, just because I may wear some things that may be gender bending or gender fluid, I still very much identify as a male, as a he, him. So
beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. I love that. And what you're wearing right now is absolutely fucking fabulous.
Can
can you describe to our audience what you're...
I can describe. It's a piece by Wumi Alaya and the company I used to dance with in America, Evidence. She was one of the costume designers or the wardrobe designers for Evidence, and also some of the works that Ronald K. Brown would do. So it's got so it's basically Nigerian. It's Nigerian fabric and Nigerian made, because Wumi is Nigerian. And then we've got, it's kind of batik fabric, as well as some tie dye and indigo, like kind of tie dyes as things like that. So yeah, a bit of a traditional dress in a sense, but contemporized. And yeah, I think the way I've had it now is it's definitely a male piece, and it kind of embodies the somewhat of a, I don't know the name of it, but the dress that like maybe Islamic or practicing Muslims would wear.
Yeah.
But so it's in that realm. But probably in summertime, I would probably just wear some shorts on it so that the legs are out to make it a little festive. But it is winter. It is cold. I have pants.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
It looks so great. And what's your sexual... What's your sexual orientation in this moment, and what does that mean to you?
I guess I identify as bi. At the moment, I am in a same-sex relationship, so I'm gay in this moment. But I guess so I'm bi or gay, whatever. I mean, you'd be like, what does it mean anymore? Does it matter?
In this moment.
Sometimes it matters. Sometimes it matters. I've had some people say some things to me like, or maybe we get into that later, but we'll get into that later, I guess. But
Bring it in.
So basically, there's a guy that I know, and he was like, oh, my straight trainer, you know, da 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 da. And I was like, okay. And I was like, you're straight trainer. And I was like, you guys have sex? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay. And he's straight. Like, I mean, and it's not, and I guess it's not a problem. It's not a problem, but I'm just like, if you guys have fooled around enough regularly, off and on fairly regularly, is he straight? And I guess I go, is it a problem that he, like, is it a problem that he does it? Or does he just not do that? Does he just put that someplace else or put you someplace else when he does that? Because I guess I just go, well, I understand people being fluid and liking what they like. And I, again, I guess I try to respect that space. But sometimes I guess I go, it's okay to be bi. It's okay to like what you like. And maybe you don't necessarily need a label or don't want to put a label on it. But I think sometimes when you go, I'm straight, but I mess with dudes. I mess with this one particular dude on the regular. And maybe others. But I'm straight. And you're like, it's highly debatable. It's very highly debatable.
Should we look at the definition of what straight?
Yeah, I'm just like, all right, fine, whatever. You're not, like, and I go, you're not my friend. So then you live your life. You live your life the way you want to live it. And I will, you know, I will just be over there on the other side doing that. So, yeah, I guess, yes. Identify as bi, gay, and it means to me, I'm going to stop saying I think that's something in my life, but I'm happy with that. And I am where I am with that. And it's been a journey to get to that. Mm. And so in my life, I've had female partners and long-term female partners that we had great relationships. I did not know, because of my upbringing, being from Georgia, Southern African-American Baptist church abiding citizen of the world, I didn't know that I could be bi, I think is what I'm saying. Not until later in life, which then in the midst of me trying to stay those straight lines, staying straight and being straight and being of God and being, you know, in my religious practice very heavily, you know, it brings a lot of conflict, but I was trying to be in a particular mold that I hadn't seen yet. And I hadn't seen that people could be bi. I hadn't seen people could have male and female partners and love them and care for them and have nurturing, fruitful relationships with it. So for a while I struggled with that. I am now not struggling with that. And I am in a same-sex relationship. So, and that's been a while. That has been my longest running relationship with a male, and it's fantastic.
Are you married?
I'm not married. I am engaged. We are doubly engaged.
Wow.
My partner Quentin, he proposed. That's the word. He proposed to me 2018, I think. And then I was mad about it and was like, not mad that he proposed, but I was mad because I was like, I wanted to propose. So then I think it was last year, 2021, when we were in Queenstown is when I proposed to him. My dates could be wrong. Sorry, babe. I love you. And then I proposed to him because I was like, you will not get this over me. So it was kind of like a bit watery, but I was like, fuck it, man. Like, you know, you got this opportunity to propose or get proposed to. And in my brain, probably in my straight brain, I was thinking, I'm going to do the proposing, right? Mm. But I mean, and I think that's the beautiful thing in same-sex relationships is that fucking make up the rules. Like, you can make this shit up. You can do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck it. I'm a man. I'm doing some proposing around here. You know what I'm saying? And so that's where it came down to.
Amazing.
And yeah, now this is the other thing. Like, he proposed, which is really great, with bracelets. And so you've got these bracelets, wow. And we both have different inscriptions on the inside of them. And so we did that. But then, because maybe this is my feminine side of it, or just the other side of it, I was like, babe, can I get a ring, though? I was like, I know you spent money on these bracelets, and I'm with it. But I'm engaged and I kind of want a ring. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, well, I kind of want a ring. So I was like, it can be basic. Basic, just sterling silver, simple. And so we were in Sydney at the time because he proposed on the Sydney Harbour Bridge. Mm-hmm. And it was Boxing Day the following day or week. And so we went and just picked up a really basic sterling silver ring. And so,
which is beautiful, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
So gorgeous.
Well, thanks. It's super. It's all, look, I danced and it's been scratched up and smashed against things. That, and then this other ring by Nick Vaughn, a New Zealand jeweler. It's pretty gay. I think it's called the Rainbow Ring, or I could be wrong. But it's got, you know, the Roy G. Biv on it. And I was like, yeah, I'm a fan of that. So I just add those two on there. So people go, are you married? I'm like, nah. I just represent my engagement with some other gay embellishments. And
beautiful.
So that's how it rocks. So I've got the engagement ring, Nick Vaughn's ring, and then our bracelet.
Oh, so
is my like go-to jewelry.
Stunning.
So yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't, I reckon it's like not about how much someone's spent on it or like the lavishness of the jewelry. It's like the sentiment behind it.
Absolutely.
And like, yeah, I love that description.
That's the story I tell all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I got proposed to, yes! So can I just get a ring?
Oh my God. I love. Okay. So
you were saying that it's been a journey for you, like kind of coming into that identification of being bi, coming from a Baptist upbringing and African American, and I'm interested to know like what the steps in sort of like liberating yourself into really like feeling comfortable in your sexuality have been.
Yeah. Shucks.
Big question.
Let's go back into time.
Yes.
A journey. So it's been a journey. I would guess when I was younger, people always say, I felt different, but I didn't feel that different. But I figured something was happening, but I don't know. Whatever. I'm a child. Doesn't matter. But I did notice that when I kind of got into the puberty stages, I was like, I would prefer to watch porn or see porn, sneak and watch porn, that the man looked good. Now, I was watching straight porn, but I needed the man to look good because the woman looks as she did, immaculate. But I was like, man, you got this old belly man out here banging this woman. Inappropriate. He needs to have abs. He needs to have pecs. He needs to have, you know, so that was my thought of that. So maybe that was a sign of like, you care about the man a little bit too much. But I was like, she deserves. So that's one thing.
It's a persuasive argument.
No? Yeah, right. I'm still straight. So that was that. Then as I moved into university, I moved away from home, not as a rebellion or anything like that. I was just, that's where school took me. And things were going cool. And then still kind of in and out in my brain, but not really giving it too much thought. I was straight in church, being godly, cool. But I would find men attractive, but just that was that. Like they were good looking men. They're good looking people in life. So here we are. And then I think something kind of switched. There was a guy that I was not talking to in a romantic way, but he was like an older brother in quotations, and kind of saw my proclivity to potentially being gay or whatnot, and low-key kind of took advantage of that in the sense of like kind of just manipulated, kind of pushed the bounds, and then kind of got in. You know, and I was like, oh, shit, like, okay, well, I'm interested. And so, you know, we end up having some fellatio, some head. And I was like, I'm okay with this. But then that was kind of the impetus of like, oh, shit, what is this thing? And so then different things started to swirl. And so probably about my junior or my third year in university, that's when things started to open up. Now, granted, I did have a female partner from high school, from junior year high school senior year high school into junior year of college. And so, yes, junior year of college. And that's what I say when I had fellatio with the man. That was the impetus of like, well, I cheated and now things are all spiraling out of control. And so, but I didn't have like church bringing up or church upbringing. I didn't have sex until I was in university.
Okay.
So I waited. You know, pushing the bounds, dry humping, heavy petting, all those things, you know, as far as you can get, without being like unholy and in sin.
Yeah.
So
the dry humping is where it's at anyway, you know.
Man.
I'm really into the foreplay.
You know, sometimes that dry humping can get you. You've asked me that before. I was like ready for penetration. Some good old dry humping or some wet humping would be like, oh, this is really great. Right, it's pretty good. It's, man, because you're going for it in that time. Oh. Anyway, I know dry humping, right?
And still there's like the taboo of like not having penetrative sex. So there's like that element of like anticipation and like the build up, you know?
Right, but look, as sensitive I am sometimes, I've let go on some dry humping and been like,
absolutely.
Sorry. Sorry, I was involved. I was involved. I don't know where you were, but I was involved in this moment. So I'll just clean up. Yes, so in about senior high school is when things started to change a little bit for me. And then I moved to New York, the land of the free, right? And then it was even, I was still very much holding on to church things and really finding new heights and dynamics in my relationship with God at the time. And so that was really great. But then, you know, on the other side of that, you know, you're like, homosexuality is not good. It's bad. It's sinful. It's da 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 da. And you're like, ooh, but, and I was always had this thing of, well, it's not outside forces that are saying like, you're gay. It was kind of the inside of me that was kind of like, but I think I like men. Am I trash? Am I trash for thinking that? Oh, no, I can't be. I'm a good person. Okay, so, you know, it was just this kind of back and forth, this ping-ponging that was going on a lot of. So, but that, and even still, I didn't have any partners at the time, but I was kind of, again, dry-humping different men.
Yeah.
You know, having, you know, different encounters with men mainly. So I was like, I'm cool with this, but then I was still finding women attractive. So, you know, so that happened. Fast forward for the more years into New York. I was living in New York for 6 years. So let's say this is the halfway mark ish where, you know, had some relationships in quotations or just a lot of fooling around with a lot of men that were in my circle, in the dance circle, that had impacts on me in my heart. And, you know, I would kind of get attached to them and do that. But I don't know. End up getting with a woman, a female, who that was a 4.5 year relationship, which was good. I told her prior to the relationship that we were, that I was, I had dealings with men. She was cool with that. And we progressed into our relationship, very heavily, very seriously. But one of my main downfalls was that I did not keep her in the loop of what was going on inside of me. And I think, again, communication. Everybody talks about communication, but it's so very important because as human beings, we're growing, we're changing, things are happening. You know, information is coming in, you're trying to decipher certain things, and it's always good to help your life partner or your significant other know, hey, this is kind of happening. And you may say something that then makes them do a knee-jerk reaction that can be crazy. But honesty, being really boldly honest is, it takes courage. It takes a lot of trust as well. But if you are with somebody who you feel really gets you, understands you, loves you, cares for you, being honest about that, even though it scares the shit out of you, is the best policy. Because then that person can either make a decision to support you from a distance or, you know, come in and support you. Because of my kind of boggled mind, that individual had to distance herself from me, which is fine. So we broke up, which was necessary. I mean, you can't drag somebody through a relationship when you're umming and ahhing and for, you know, for the long term. And again, respectfully of women, you know, there's a ticking clock at the same time of these things. And so people kind of like, yeah, I kind of want this process to move forward if we're moving forward respectfully, because I'm thinking I want to have children at least. So don't waste my time.
Yeah.
And I get it and I understand it. So I think in that regard, that happens. Now, that partner ended up moving to New Zealand for some time. And so we did that and stuff like that. We did break up. But New Zealand, I think, was the grounds for a big shift, because after that relationship, that's when I pretty much came out, because I was like, or came out in the sense of like, I like men. I will most likely, I will be with men. Right. Yeah. But granted, I still like women. I enjoy the female, you know, it's great. It's beautiful. Silhouette. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's lovely. It's great. I enjoy, I mean, we're talking about sex. So I'm like, man, some vaginas, some good, that's, I enjoy that. I do.
Yes.
So I'm jumping the gun, but I enjoy that. I love some penis too, right? So I love it all. I'm greedy. I'm a fucking greedy man.
I love that right? for you. Claim it.
Yeah. So so that's been my journey. Like New Zealand kind of really pushed the boundary because then I'd hurt an individual. I'd hurt this young lady, and I needed to not necessarily make amends, but I needed to be fully honest with what is going on. And so, yeah, that involved me going back home and, you know, coming out to my parents and telling them what was going on. And yes, that transition, that shifted the relationship with me and my father, which was detrimental, but not detrimental in just the sense that we distance.
Yeah.
We are now making very, very small steps back to each other.
Yeah.
Or him to me, really. And that's fine. We are where we are. Mm-hmm. Life is, we move. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's been where that's been. I think I'm answering the question.
Yeah, absolutely so, you are.
So yeah, so it's just been that. And I think with New Zealand being so far and being fairly, fairly liberal.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? Mm. I know. You feel like New Zealand, everybody loves everybody. You're like, you do, but y'all got things. Y'all, y'all got things.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's fine. It's totally fine. But in this space of being away from my home, I guess I've been able to really explore what that is for me, what it is, expression of life and things like that. And so, yeah. And being a dancer, you do have to step into different roles to do, you know, to be believable, but just to convey life. Life is happening and you are a reflection of that as an artist. So at times when I was in New York, there was a piece called Better Days by Evidence that was about the gay club scene and stuff like that. And so for me, I could lavish in this moment, but I was still very like, ooh, I don't know this. I don't know what this is, but I kind of do, but I don't, but I can't, but in and out of that. So there's that moment. But then I made a shift from company life into freelancing in 2017, and I needed money. And so I ended up finding Men of Steel.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And that then was like another thing. Now, granted, I was very much gay at the time.
Men of Steel?
Men of Steel is a it's basically like the Magic Mike of New Zealand.
Okay. So, I did not know about that.
Yeah. So inside of that, and again, like stripping in America has this context of like something's going wrong, you turn to stripping to do this, that, and it's like it has this a bit of a negative connotation. Here, I guess because I was like, well, fuck it, I do need money and it's a performance and it is what it is. I came and saw it and I was like, oh, this is like PG-13. You take off some clothes, you show a thong, you rub on some ladies or some men or whomever is in the room, and you get some money for it. I like being naked.
Yeah.
I've worked out in the gym, so shit, fuck it, let's do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
And so then that was a different expression of life, of where I was, because I was like, well, I like women and men, so whomever's here and who's gonna pay me for it, let's rock.
Yeah.
Let's do it. You know, stick it in the G-string and let me keep rocking on. And I'm dancing every week.
Yes,
you know?
Sir.
So it was just that thing of like, fuck that, let's do it.
Yeah.
Which then, you know, I started to buy underwear that was like, oh yeah, well that's gonna do it. So then it just started to grow. And so then
amazing.
It's just been this big kind of explosion of life and things and exploring and sexuality and stuff like that. So Yeah.
That's fucking amazing.
Yeah, so New Zealand has it's got a real place in me because I've had to I've had to do a tremendous amount of growing and a tremendous amount of bravery building, courage building, you know, 10 toes down, standing firm in whatever it is that I believe and whoever it is I believe in and trust. So yeah.
Wow.
Ooh, that was a long-winded story.
There like so many juicy bits in there as well that I just I want to go back and I want to pick it apart. I really, really freaking loved what you were saying about communication with especially in particular with your ex-partner when you felt that feeling of like, okay, I've done something, I need to like share it, and I know that I need to like share from a place of like real genuine like honesty and authenticity, because like for everyone's sake involved, and it's like such a courageous act, I think, to be able to speak like confidently and communicate clearly, because that's not something that we're taught to do. And especially if we feel like, you know, there's like a taboo or something, you know, like we're going to hurt someone's feelings and there's a lot of like people pleasing that is like just innately drilled into us.
Yeah.
And I think, I think it's really beautiful that the way you articulated that was really beautiful.
You know, well, thank you. Thank you. One, it's just, but it's taken time. It's taken time. I've had some really amazing friends. My brother is great. My mom is great. My dad is great. They have all taught me lessons, but I've had a lot of friends to ask questions. One of my best friends, Justin, he had asked, like, is it hard for you to like kind of live two different lives? And I was like, what do you mean by that? He was like, you know, you've kind of got, well, he knows because he's been my roommate. He was my roommate in college. And then we've just been best friends since. And so he was just like, you know, you tend to go back and forth between two different worlds. Like, is that exhausting? Are you tired from that? And I was like, you know, oh my God.
I'm so
sick. You're supposed to be my man friend. Like, you're supposed to be my dude. Yeah. You're supposed to be asking me like pertinent ass questions like that. You're supposed to be like, fuck that shit. So stuff like that, you're just like, whoa.
Yeah, cracked open.
How do you, okay. So then you're thinking, how do I then bring whatever sides I have together to just be the person, like be you, you know? And so that was one thing. Quentin, my partner, he, you know, he's always like, you communicate, but you don't communicate well. Another friend of mine, Francine, was like, you say that you open, like open in terms of voicing and communicating. But my friend, as your friend, I need a little bit more if we're going to be, you know, and I think just the honesty of matters, whatever the situation is, whatever the matter is.
Yeah.
Being honest about it, because people, your friends, people who know you can tell.
Yeah.
Like, like I hear you, but something is not, you're skirting around a situation, you know? and that's fine. And some, you know, certain friends are kind of like, I'll just take that. I'll take whatever they give me.
Yeah.
But then other friends are like, we've been doing this for about 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm tired. Get to the point.
Yes.
Get to that thing. And so I'm like, oh, I'm exposed. You know, so then in those moments, you really do have to just take a chance. And it can be hard to do in anything. This is not just sexuality. This is just whatever you're fucking hopes and dreams and goals are in life. Being honest with that and being just bold and courageous and just like, "Ooh, this may shake some feathers, but I'm gonna say this. This is what I want to do. I want to be a sex therapist."
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know, and that is what I want to do, because that is what I feel is in my soul, in my spirit. And that's what I think. And it's like, do it, you know, but it's those things. But
yeah.
It ain't easy being courageous. It ain't easy being yourself, you know?
Yeah.
You're not taught to be yourself. You're not taught to be yourself consistently. You're taught to be yourself in different spaces at different times.
Yeah.
But to be you all the time, regularly, you know, it's rough. It can be rough.
Yeah, totally.
It can be rough. But the more you lean into it, it's always that thing. Lean in. You know those catchphrases. Yes. Lean in. You're like, man, fuck this lean in.
What does lean in mean?
Lean in is be like, right, you know, you just in. Leaning in is like, put your hands by your side and just fucking go forward, you know? And you're like, bitch, you're gonna fall in your face. But, and I think that's the beauty of it sometimes is that you think, I'm gonna smash my shit.
Mm.
But somebody, someone is there.
Yeah.
And I say that in hopes that that person that is there is someone that is genuine in their actions and genuine in the support.
Yeah.
Because, you know, some people come around and they catch you, but they've got alternative motives.
Yeah.
And then that leaning in has now fucked you.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah. It's not safe to lean in.
Yeah, but then when you do have a good circle, you got good people, and sometimes people just come out randomly and are like, I'm here with you wherever you are, I'm there. And then you're like, oh, this is what that is. You know, to go back to church stuff, it's faith.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, oh, you know, again, you'd be like, oh, shit, I got to do faith again? More faith? And that's the deal. Faith begets more faith. And you just, man, sometimes you feel like you are almost 180 degrees to that face plant on some faith things, and just when you think you're about to smash, it's right there. Somebody's there to go, I got you, I got you, I got you. I mean, it, I know.
Shivers, this is so accurate.
It's that's life though, and that and it's crazy. And you can use that for anything, whether it's your career path, whether it's your love life, your identifying, your sexual place, like even with your people, your person, whether you want to explore, not to be bringing up open relationships because that's the whole, you know, thing, but if that is something that you want to try, if you want to try a kink, if you want to try some bondage, like some of those things you kind of go, oh my God, my person's gonna think I'm crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna fucking try. I'm gonna go ask, I'm gonna go ask for it. And then your person's like, oh, I mean, fuck it, let's... Let's fucking see what happens. And then you're like, oh shit. You know, and so it's just wherever, again, I'm trying to keep it with the sexual stuff.
No. But I whatever, love all the directions.
But whatever that is, it's man, it can be, yeah. So that's it. I don't know. That's just where I'm learning life to be at this moment.
Yeah.
As you say, you identify as this, and what does that mean for you right now? All that means just, I don't know.
Mm.
Courage, trust, faith.
Yeah. Lean in, surrender. I love that. I love what you're saying around like that being the analogy for just life right now, and also how that translates so deeply into like the bedroom as well. Like if you think about like, you know, your biggest fantasy, but being fearful of like expressing that, and then that being received by someone that you're with that you trust.
Yeah.
It's like you can reach whole new levels of actual like, yeah, surrender, which equals like expansion, which equals like life, you know?
Yeah, in your own being, because then you're like, oh, I don't even know. Oh, I'm a dominant individual.
Yes.
Like, usually in life, I'm a bit submissive, but, or I'm passive. That's not like submissive, but passive. But in these relationships, I'm a bit dominant.
Yeah.
Okay, and my person's okay with that? This is cool, but they can still make all the decisions on mine. But in this situation, I get to, you know, and so, but then in those other passive moments, because you're, if you think about what the essence of that is, that dominatrix or whatever, you know, in a bedroom situation, and you bring some ounces of that to your outside normal world, you'll be less passive. You could potentially be less passive because then you're like, no, I'm gonna not do that. Or I'm going to do this because this is how I feel. Then you're like, oh, now there's a shift. And now you're starting to see a bit of growth in you. So however that goes. And again, when it comes to like the clothes I wear or the expression of my, I don't know, G-string of a particular night, those types of things can empower you to go further to whatever that is. You know, maybe you do wear the short skirt tonight, even though it's cold. Or maybe you do wear the halter top out at the family function. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's some of those things that you're just like, fucking, I don't know. Yeah, I may get some kickback from it, but somebody in there, like, and it's that thing of like, somebody's probably seeing that and going, that's a bold move.
Yeah.
But it's got some taste to it.
Yeah.
And it's, I couldn't do it.
Yes.
But I'm impressed.
It's a permission piece.
Yeah.
It's a permission piece. It's like, whoa, if he's doing that, then like, what's possible for me? And also, like, I love what you're saying around, it's like, whoa, if I explore this like dominant side of myself in the bedroom, like, maybe it does actually give me like a pep in my step or some confidence in the streets where I am interacting in day-to-day experiences. And I feel that to be true around like that expression of exploring our sexuality and moving into what that is, that unique expression is for yourself. It's like the more you kind of get to know yourself and those nuances within that realm, it's like just expands into every area of your life.
Yeah. Yeah. It really does have the capability of doing that. So it's, yeah, it's been great. It's been wonderful to be able to do that.
Oh, fuck yes. Fuck yes. Another piece that I felt really intrigued about was the piece around your dancing and how you were talking about how you were exploring like a particular piece that was around queer dance and how you were finding like comfortability in that as you were kind of moving through that. I'm wondering, like, how much dance has impacted your, I don't know, self-expression and freedom within your body and sexuality and how that correlates.
Oh, heaps, bro.
Yeah.
yeah. And so just my story on dance is, like, I studied, when I learned from my parent, from a tape that I would get videos off of and train and study, you know, dance in my parents' basement and just do the tapes. And that was my training ground every so often. And then I chose to study dance as my career, as my profession at a 4-year institution at Howard University. And so doing that was a big step. One, I had the support of my parents. They paid for it. God bless them. I appreciate that. But even with that, like in high school and stuff like that, there was the struggle because I think my dad could see that I had like, you know, proclivity to be other, you know, gay or bi or other than straight, than hetero, boom. And so there were certain things that I couldn't do, like doing the step team at my high school. I could do it at church, but I couldn't do it at school. And so I myself would then make up lies or fibs or stretch the truth of like, I've got ecology club. I did have ecology club, but not on that Tuesday. I had it on Wednesday, and they also had step team practice on Tuesday and Wednesday, so therefore one of those days I'm cool, you know. So it started, so that, but that's also an issue in my life that I started to live double lives. So that's where kind of that whole double life thing started to progress. But it was like, it was dance, it was expression of art, like, what is wrong with that? You know what I'm saying? So I think that was that was probably my thing of like, there's nothing wrong with this. So why can't I do it? But anyway, moved on to, you know, pushing that further, went to college, started dancing. And yeah, I mean, granted, initially, a lot of times people think, well, you're a man and you do dance, so you're probably gay anyway. And you'd be like, yeah, that's so immature. But
such a generalization.
I know, just so general. Like, oh, you like girls? Bitch, get out of my face. Like, you know, you just be like, shut the fuck up, man. Like, how small can you be? So then there's that. Now, granted, yes, I end up becoming a bit gay, but who cares? You are right. You are right. There are plenty of straight men out here dancing. All right. So there's that, but even inside of that, you're expressing yourself. And then I used to, because I was definitely like on my straight path, I was like, if any male who likes women like would actually think about it, you get to, and this is me being perf, so apologies to my sisters in dance and anybody like that. But it's kind of like also people on the cheer team, they make jokes about it all the time. It's like, you get to be around women, you get to, okay, and this is going to sound a little bit crazy, but just rock with me for a little bit. If you're a straight man, you're the only man in the room full of women who are wearing tights and leotards, who are showing their figures, who are most usually beautiful and care about their body. And then you get to handle them, not like merchandise, but you get to lift them, you know, partner them and do things like that. Would you not want to be in a room?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like,
yes.
Who's winning here? Because I'm clearly winning because you're losing. Because I'm the, like at this. And by the time I graduated, I was the only male in the dance program. Mm-hmm. So it was my one male body amongst, you know, maybe 20 other females. Now, granted, they're all my sisters. And I didn't think about them like, ooh, I'm gonna touch on you today.
Yeah.
There was never that.
Yeah.
But, you know, but it's kind of like,
if you're thinking about
it in that way, I'm like, mate, the ratio is 1 to 20. The fuck is your ratio? You know what I'm saying? Like, your ratio is what, 1 to 3? Ho? You know what I'm saying? So it's stuff like that. So you'd be like, motherfucker, you better get out of my face. I'm winning in here. So there's that. You know what I'm saying? So that. Now, I digress.
Yes.
Bringing it back, dance, you know, you've got choreographers that are going through their own stories, right? Going through their own thoughts and patterns. And so they're asking you to then come into their world or be the world that they see. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, there is this invoking of a spirit, invoking of a character, and sometimes finding out kind of sometimes who you are. There may be a piece of you, and this is probably bringing in some acting things, is that, excuse me, there's usually a piece of you that connects to that character or what somebody's asking you to be. So we need to see who that is and then open that individual and then expand upon that thing. Mm. So when I was in evidence and got to do this piece called Better Days, which is literally about just being the ins and outs of the probably African-American gay community at Webster Hall, I believe, in New York, in Manhattan, and just being in this space of just euphoria, but then also the balance of, you know, like church and but then communication and brotherhood and love, but then also sex. And so all this, you know, so all these things, you know, you're stalking, like we had a scene where it was like you're holding your pee. And you're looking at the stalls next to you, you know, and you're like, all right, I'll check you later, you know, and then you'll go dance, you know, and then you go dance. And so it's things like that to where for a young man who's finding out what his sexuality is or exploring his sexuality, well, I want to take that moment and be able to, and you know, you're dancing around beautiful men. Like, and now I'm like, okay, I'm now around beautiful men. Look at me, just greedy. Just fucking greedy, right? So now I'm like, oh, he's lifting me. Oh, now we have to dance together. Oh, you know what I'm saying? So you're like,
this is like Eden, or like my perception of what Eden would be.
Yeah, it's like a very Sense 8 life, right? So you're like, fuck it, I'm around everybody.
Yes.
And so then you get to explore this luxurious, and the music is good. You got this bumping, thriving thing. And you've got Sylvester playing, and you're just like, oh, yes, luxuriating. So you get to explore these things. So at different times, you know, you get to do this. There's another piece called Human Language inside of Black Grace's repertoire that, you know, you're exploring the dynamics of male-female relationships, right? So the choreographer for Evidence is a Black gay man. And here in New Zealand, Black Grace is a straight Samoan male. So therefore, I'm doing both things. And so, so you do have to handle, in quotations, the woman in particular way, because you do want them. You want to be engaging with them in that regard. But you got to finesse it. It's different, you know? So then you get to be in these different characters. Mm. For someone who is figuring things out, you get to go through it, but then I think there's also the balance of like all of that lives within you. It is your job, but it's also your expression of who you are. It's okay. Like, it is okay. So I think in that regard, you're starting to open up, you know, your rib cage and open up your heart to like, it's okay to be in this space. And then you're also being very intimate and close, you know, partnering different men, different women that are in their own journey of what their sexuality is. Some of them are, you know, a little bit more coy. Some of them are seeking, you know, attention, are seeking, you know, to be touched in a way. So you're like, so you're really having to be all these things. So absolutely, I think the arts is, you know, a lot of people get their children into arts to be able to get their creativity going or explore their artistic expression or their expression. Yeah, beautiful. I think when you've got someone, a director or a teacher that may see that person struggling with some things, whatever those things are, and helping to facilitate that, and giving the language around it to be able to pull it out of them. Because then that individual, that child or that adult even, finds new confidence and goes, oh, I've never danced like this before, or I never knew I could be good at this, or it's getting better. I've had, you know, adults in my African styles class come to be like, I'm just trying something new. Is it okay? And I'm like, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't even care if you have the step or not. How do you feel? I feel great. I love it. Then keep coming.
Yeah.
We don't have, like, in life, we just don't have a lot of things that bring us that type of joy. So if this is one of those things, fucking be here, man.
Yeah.
And just vibe out. Vibe out. Meet it, make a new connection. Be whatever. Like, everybody's going to be in here just sweating and trying to get the step. I'm going to be in here trying to get the step myself, because I'm like, sometimes I teach you the wrong things.
Mm.
You know, so it's just that of how arts, you know, and this is probably my arts educator side of, like, fund the arts.
Yes.
Because... there's so much to it. There's so much to it that you can learn, that there are so many great facilitators, so much faculty and teachers that are out here trying to make better human beings, expressive human beings, literate human beings, and emotionally aware human beings to be better and contribute. So yes, our art is my tool, has been my vehicle to sustainment in the world. Yes, I do make money, and it is great, and I am very appreciative of that life and this life, but it's also giving me that lean in mentality of, I applied to Howard on the last day that I could go. So I applied, I got in. Okay, then I went to school to do dance without any dance training. Okay, I'm leaning. You know what I'm saying? Okay, now I got to do 4 years of this. Okay, I'm leaning. You know, okay, now I'm graduating and I got to, you know, get a job. And I've been interning with this company. Okay, I'm leaning. You know what I'm saying? Okay, I've seen Black Grace. Okay, I'm leaning. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm on the other side of the world with no family. Okay, I'm leaning. You know what I'm saying? So it's just that. And at this moment now in life, I'm transitioning back to the States. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, okay, bitch, now I'm leaning. You know what I'm saying? So you're just consistently leaning, but then the support system of your, you know, your fano, your group is helping you to go, it is okay, you're good. We got you.
Mm.
And that's just it. So arts, dance, sexuality, all the things. Lean.
Yes. Fuck yes. Oh, that's, oh my God. Okay.
Oh, this is where we at. This is
so
where we
much
at.
Goodness.
That's just where we are.
Okay. So with all of the wisdom that you have gained from your life experience through all of this, through everything you've just shared, through everything else that hasn't been shared today, what would you tell your younger self?
Woo! I told my partner this, and I was like, buckle up, buttercup. It's going to be a fucking ride. I would probably start with that statement. Sweetie, prepare yourself.
Yeah.
Life's
a fucking roller coaster.
Right, it's a fucking roller coaster mate, of mass proportions, okay? And that shit's not going to stop. All right?
Oh, my God.
All right, so secure the fucking seatbelt, secure your harness, and just fucking hang on. I'll probably start with that at some point. But, shit, what would I tell my younger self? Man, we do this in acting class again, but one would be, firstly, that you are loved.
Mm.
You are loved, and you are love.
I'm so sorry. I don't know if I didn't fucking press record, but I'm just going to press record from now.
Oh, shit, that's wrong.
It's all right. We don't need it.
That's cool. one, that you are loved, and that you are love. Period. Because there are times that you don't feel any one of those things. You don't feel like you've got the support system. You don't feel like you are able to share who you are in that regard of whether it's your art or whether it's your being, your person. So know that you are loved and that you are love, and you can share your being out. Yes, be conscious of different people. Everybody is not necessarily, your mate, your friend. But there are people that are going to come into your life that are going to facilitate growth in you. And you should lean into those individuals in the positive way and keep excelling. Talk, use your mouth, communicate even if it is scary. Communicate even if it scares the shit out of you. But you can do it. You have the power to do it. Go forward and express yourself. You are already an expressive being. So fully do it. Fully do it. Because again, you are loved and you are love. So that is probably what I would tell my younger self after I say, buckle up. Because the shit's gonna go. And you ain't gonna, it's like a roller coaster in the dark. And it just, it's like Space Mountain at Disney World. You can't see a motherfucking thing. And you just all in this little house just spinning around. You know what I'm saying? So it's that. It's kind of like that. But it's fun. It's fun. And there are gonna be moments where you can breathe and go, holy shit, that was amazing. What'd we just do? Oh, we going again. You know? And so it's that. It is that. But again, I think that is it. It's definitely about love. It's definitely about love because.
Fuck. Yes. Otis. Oh, my God. Okay. Final question. I'm feeling so much.
Look, we hit it on a Friday.
I'm mostly feeling that I'm so sad that we didn't meet sooner and you're about to leave on your transition back to the US because I'm just like, I am like feeling so uplifted and so just like
inspired by you. This is what we do.
Yeah. Final question. Very important question. What is your favorite finger food?
Ooh. I should have thought about this a whole lot more. My favorite finger food, a baked good.
Oof.
I know. And it seems hella general, but
that's unexpected.
A baked good.
What kind of baked good?
Oh my gosh. Aren't there so many?
There are many, but and what I love is your
them
favorite?
All. You love them all. Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Shout out to Mustache Cookies in this mofo. Cause that shit rocks. Okay. Like, that's a motherfucking cookie right there. Period. Point blank. A baked good, man. And I loved it when I came here because I'd not had the combination before. A raspberry white chocolate. Ooh. A raspberry white chocolate muffin always goes hard. Warm it up. Let that milk chocolate gooeyness. Oh, because you got to eat that with your fingers. You got to eat muffins with your fingers.
You must.
Right? You got to break up, you know, and you can eat a cookie as is, but you know, things are better when you break them off.
Yeah, you're right.
They're better that way.
You're not wrong.
Man, yeah, so that's it. People who know me know, like, I'm the one to be, like, a baked good.
Oh, my God.
I need a baked good.
Yes, okay? To that.
Because that's it. Because it's just an open thing. But you'd be like, I can have a cookie. Oh my God. I can have a pie. I can have a piece of cake. I can have a muffin. But what is that? It's a baked good.
It's a baked good. You know, I used to own a bakery in London. 7 years. I could have provided you with the baked good. I should have bought you baked goods today. How rude of me.
That is fine. We are here. And I did
ask you what your favorite finger food is earlier and you said, I'm easy.
Right.
Fluid, whatever. But now I know.
It's a baked good. It's a baked good. Can't go wrong. I've got a baked good in my car already.
Otis, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
For your presence and for your vulnerability and for just all of that. That was fucking phenomenal.
Oh, fucking, I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
Thanks for dining with Finger Food. If you liked this conversation, you can tip your maitre d' by subscribing, leaving a review, and sharing this podcast with your friends. If you want to find more of my podcasts, go to stacyogorman.com. Stay safe, stay sexy. See you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.